3 days until Christmas. I'd peer through the car window at the dark outline of the road ahead, trying to find my way through the shadows with just the swish, swish of the wipers to keep me company. Once more, I cursed the fact I was out on a night like this, when even the car radio had given up and decided enough was enough. It had all started from a phone call that had come out of the blue, just as I was sitting down with a film that I'd wanted to see for ages, a cosy log fire and a glass of good whiskey, all of which now lay many miles behind me, film over, fire out, and the whiskey, well, that was left still in the glass. When I answered the phone, it was a voice I knew so well. It was the voice of the last person I'd expecting to call me. "Hi, Dad. It's me, Marie." I did not know what to say. Hearing the voice of my daughter brought so much flooding back to me, like a cinema reel flicking through frame after frame. Visions of the past few years filled my mind. It had started with the death of my wife, trying to get over it and look after my family at the same time. The constant arguments with my daughter had driven her away, leaving me devastated, both of us vowing to never speak to each other again. So many harsh words that had been said in the heat of the moment, so much hurt given and received from both sides. After she'd gone, my son David had simply looked at me and said, "You've done it now, Dad." Like a knife piercing my heart, the realization I'd lost another member of my family cut right through me. Like the stubborn people we are, neither my daughter nor I talked from that moment forward. David passed on the odd piece of news from his random contact memory, how she'd found a place to live with a group of friends and how she was doing okay. But now David was away, defending our country, and I was alone. "Dad, are you there?" Marie's voice brought me back from my memories. "Hi, Marie, I'm here. Sorry, I was miles away. What do you want?" Half of me was glad my daughter had called. The other half wondered what she was after. "Dad," I thought I heard a sob. "Dad, please, Dad, I need your help." At once all the anger and doubt left me. My daughter needed me. She was in trouble. "Marie, love, what's wrong?" This time I knew I heard sobs, and my heart lurched and all the pain came back to me. "Dad," she whispered through the tears I knew were falling. "Dad, I need you. Please, Dad, I need you." That had been several hours ago, and here I was travelling through the worst weather that this December night could throw at me, to a place I only had a vague idea of its location, to a daughter whom I thought I'd lost and who was in trouble. The miles came and went, and the signposts seemed to be as common as the other cars on the road, namely none. I came to a crossroads, totally unsure of which direction to go, when suddenly a flash of something caught the corner of my eye. I looked up into the dark skies. I'd forgotten the morning news, reports space debris entering the atmosphere this evening and burning up, and as I looked, several more small sparks lit the night's heavens. "Okay," I thought, "follow the star." I turned towards the first light I'd seen and started to drive once more through the night. After a few miles, out of nowhere, a signpost appeared at the side of the road, a sign naming the very town I was looking for. And it took little time after that to find the cafe my daughter had called me from. I walked into the smoky, warm room and immediately saw my daughter sitting head bowed at a table. "Marie," I called softly. She looked up, tears still filling her eyes, dark rings from lack of sleep surrounding the red-rimmed gaze that looked up at me. Oh, Dad, I'm so glad to see you." Without thinking, I rushed to her, and as she stood up, I realised my daughter was not that I'd last seen her. She was in fact very, very pregnant. She filled my arms and I gently hugged her, so much going through my mind. "Oh, Dad," she whispered, "Dad, please take me home." We drove back through the dark, neither of us staying much until the soft sound of her sleeping left me alone in my thoughts as to what was going on and what happened to my little girl that now slept in the car next to me. Many hours later, we arrived home, and I helped her out the car and into the house. I made Marie comfortable and made us both some tea before sitting down with her, waiting for her to talk. After a while, she seemed ready and started to tell me what happened. She was, as I thought, 9 months pregnant. Her boyfriend from some time, who I'd known nothing about, was away. I was going to ask where, but bit my tongue and let it carry on. She'd been trying to make it to a friend's house, but a car had broken down, and she'd been lost and alone and worried about the baby. Not knowing what else to do, she called me. She tried to tell me how sorry she was and what an idiot she'd been, but I didn't hear, because the words of my own were tumbling from my lips until we both started crying and once more hugged each other. I tucked my little girl into bed that night, not knowing what I was going to do, trying to get all that done gone in the night in some sort of order. About 4 in the morning, a tap on my shoulder woke me up, my sleep-filled eyes seeing the face of my daughter. "Dad," she said, "the baby's coming. We need to go to the hospital." I jumped out of bed thinking about hot water overnight bags and things like that. "It's okay, Dad. Breathe deeply. You'll be all right." She smiled, and I knew how much I'd missed my daughter. That was the start of a hectic 7 hours that saw me go into the hospital as a dad and come out as a doting grandfather of a beautiful baby boy. I looked up, holding the baby in my arms, as the doorbell rang a week later. My daughter went and answered the door, and I heard the whoops of joy and laughter before bursting into the room came my son David, with his arm round Marie. "Hi, Dad," he said. "Did you think we would miss this moment?" I smiled, then realised that he said "we." And for the first time I noticed another man next to David, his hand clasped round that of my daughter. Marie smiled, and she looked from the man to me. "Dad, this is Andy. Andy Carpenter, my fiancé and the baby's father." I must have looked shocked, because a worried look crossed Marie's face. "Dad, I told you Andy was away." "But as he was on a secret assignment, I couldn't tell you where." I sat down, trying to work it all out. Somehow, what had gone on seemed to have a vague ring about it. My daughter, Marie, being pregnant, alone with nowhere to go, a guiding star, the birth of a boy, and now a carpenter. I smiled. It couldn't be, could it? No matter what, I had my daughter back. But more than that, I had a family, which now included a new son and a grandson. And there were still 3 more days until Christmas.